What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. For my money, it is the best holiday of the year. Great meal. You get some football in there. You know, maybe open up the FanDuel app, do a little bit of that too, which I certainly did. So great day for sure on Thanksgiving. And excited to talk some baseball because with Thanksgiving being in the rearview mirror, as you know, we've been talking about week after week now, the winter meetings are coming up on us pretty fast, and it feels like there is finally going to be some action around baseball in the next few days to weeks. And we even had some over the past week that we will discuss. There was a notable trade within the NL East that definitely will affect the Phillies to some extent. So we will definitely touch on the Brandon Nimmo trade and Marcus Semien coming back for the Mets and what that means for their ball club. Another interesting trade that I think could mirror something similar that the Phillies are looking to do with Nick Castellanos is Sonny Gray moves to the Red Sox here. So we're going to get into that. And I think the biggest thing I want to talk about, and I'm probably going to lead with this here, is the Ketel Marte stuff. Because it's, you know, there was a rumor around the trade deadline about the Phillies potentially acquiring Ketel Marte, second baseman from the Arizona Diamondbacks, who's one of the best in his position at the sport. Those rumors are starting to swirl up again. And I want to get into it in depth a little bit. Talk about, you know, what you would have to give up if a potential package like the ones that are being suggested out there right now would be worth it for a 32-year-old third baseman. So, or excuse me, second baseman. So we will discuss that as well. And, you know, some other news and notes from some of the writers regarding the Phillies free agents like Kyle Schwarber, like JT, like Ranger, etc. So want to start with the Ketel Marte stuff, like I said. As I mentioned, the Arizona Diamondbacks have been reportedly shopping Ketel Marte. John Morosi's tweeted it. You've had John Heyman tweet it. You've had some of the notable writers out there suggesting that the Diamondbacks will be willing to move off of Ketel Marte. And before I discuss any of the baseball-related stuff when it comes to Marte, because that's the positive stuff, it feels like the stuff that has come out from the Arizona Diamondbacks over the past couple of years when it comes to Ketel Marte is that, you know, he doesn't really have the winning mentality necessarily. He's, I don't want to say a selfish player, but a guy who has expressed his displeasure with the Diamondbacks over the past couple of years. I know he was on a leave last season at one point for some personal reasons, but don't really want to speculate what that could or couldn't be about. But there definitely is a reason why the Diamondbacks have been wanting to get off of him over the past couple of years, it seems, because, you know, based off of what's left on the contract, it is a favorable one. I mean, you've got 5 years and $92 million only left on that deal. So with having 5 years of less than $100 million in total is, for today's Major League Baseball standards, a pretty good bargain for somebody who is one of the best in their position at the sport. He would slide into the lineup really nicely and would be one of the top bats in the Phillies lineup, regardless if they lose Schwarber or lose JT or not. So having a guy like Ketel Marte back, coming back to Philadelphia in exchange for, you know, this is where it gets interesting. You would give up a Bryson Stott. You would give up some more prospects. And the big question is one of those prospects going to be Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter? And that's where the discussion, I would imagine, would start for the Diamondbacks if the Phillies were to be, you know, players in that, which, again, according to some of these tweets out there, the Phillies have been calling in about Ketel Marte to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm just not sure that a deal gets done without Andrew Painter or Aiden Miller in it. And if I'm going to get off of one of the two of them at this point, I would think just based off of the depth that the Phillies have pitching-wise and the development of Aiden Miller over the past couple of years and maybe the lack of development with Andrew Painter after the Tommy John surgery, if I'm moving one of the two of those guys, it's probably going to be Painter. And I don't even know if I want to do that necessarily, but if that is a deal where you think that it can really improve the club for next year and you can bring back Schwarber and bring back JT and add Ketel Marte to the two of those guys because you feel comfortable with the contract, then I would be okay with the Phillies being a little aggressive with that. My only concern is, again, 32-year-old second baseman, somebody who has had a great past, yes, but how much of those 5 years, like, are you getting the Ketel Marte type of production that he's had since, you know, 2022, 23? Like, that's the big question there. And so you're basically, if you bring back Schwarber, if you bring back JT, and if you trade for Ketel Marte, you are playing for the next couple of years. And that's fine because I think it's something where it will have the fan base back intrigued next year. And, you know, it'll allow your championship window to stay open. But I don't know if I'm ready to give up on Aiden Miller quite yet, considering the second half that he had in the minor leagues last year. And with Andrew Painter, look, guys like Sandy Alcantara, guys like Spencer Strider have had velocity issues and have had, you know, issues with their fastball coming off Tommy John surgery. And you saw Sandy Alcantara in the last few months of the year last year. Like, he got a lot better from what he was right when he came back. And I expect Andrew Painter to have that sort of bounce back season this year. And I think that, honestly, if anything, and this could be a crazy way to think about it, it gave him a chance to work on his secondary pitches a little bit more because he had to get guys out that way just because the fastball was, you know, so flat and so straight. It seemed like this year it was the pitch that was frankly getting hit the most out of, you know, his entire arsenal down in Lehigh Valley. So that was probably why he didn't come up in the first place. And clearly the Phillies had a ton of pitching depth last year that allowed for them to, you know, keep him down and didn't want to overexpose him in any way like that. But I think that if you're going to get rid of one of the two, it would probably be Andrew Painter. And I think there's a way potentially that you can, you know, not get rid of one of those two. If you're giving up a package of, like, you know, Dante Norrie, who's a former first rounder, and Gage Wood potentially, who was their first rounder from last year. But I'm very intrigued to see how those discussions would go on during the offseason. Because, again, if you get Ketel Marte right now, that is a major, major upgrade at the second base spot from Bryson Stott, who, again, Bryson Stott, nice player, but I think we've seen, hopefully not the ceiling of Bryson Stott, but he's, you kind of know what he is at this point. He's got a gold glove caliber glove at second base. He's going to be an all right hitter against right-handed pitching. You'll probably have to platoon him eventually against lefties. And I just don't know if Bryson Stott is the type of guy where if you give him a few more years to develop, like, he's already, what, 28 at this point? I just think that we may be seeing what, or we may have seen what Bryson Stott is as a player. And bringing in an upgrade like Ketel Marte allows that championship window to not only stay open, but to, you know, open up even more and become wide open. So I think it's really interesting, and I think that it's the type of guy that the Phillies need in this lineup. I know he doesn't really fit the right-handed bat profile that they've been looking for the past couple of years, but he is certainly a guy that's going to be able to produce for you. And maybe the whole displeasure with the Diamondbacks thing and just the personal issues over the past couple of years, maybe he just needs a change of scenery. And he's the type of guy, I feel like, if you get him around great players like, you know, Bryce Harper, Schwarber, if he's back, around some of the starting pitching, then, you know, maybe he feels revitalized and maybe he could have a, you know, great second half of his career where he goes on and becomes a really productive player like he was in the first half of his career. So that's the Ketel Marte stuff. And I think it's really interesting. It's something that's definitely going to be monitored as the offseason goes along and just the entire trade market in general, because I've thought about if the Phillies keep Kyle Schwarber and they keep JT Realmuto, which is what a lot of people presume they'll do. And if the Kyle Schwarber thing, it's looking like it's going to be 5 or 6 years at this point. I'd be really surprised if it was under 5 years, which, again, a four-year deal is probably ideal for the Phillies. And, hell, if you were talking before last year, you were probably looking at a 2 or 3 year deal with Kyle Schwarber at $20 million or so. And what he did off of last season, I give him and his agent, Casey Close, credit. Like, they have to go out and capitalize on that monster season that Kyle Schwarber just had, because going into a contract year and hitting, you know, 55 plus home runs is something that, you know, give credit to Schwarber, it's a really hard thing to do. And for him to go out there and, you know, make as much money as he's going to end up making this offseason, you know, him and his agent are obviously going to try to capitalize there. So it's probably going to be a 5, maybe even a 6 year deal, which scares the hell out of me. I don't know if I would do it myself, but again, I talked about this a lot last week, and I'll try to keep it short. I think that Dombrowski is the type of guy where he would hesitate to give Kyle Schwarber that type of deal. But John Middleton is somebody who cares about the perception of the team, as he should. He's the owner. And he's seen a filled ballpark since Kyle Schwarber's been here. And I know 22, it took a while for things to get going, and then they end up making the run. And then, you know, it happens from there. But Kyle Schwarber has been a draw to this ballpark for the past 4 years. And for somebody who is looking to make money at the end of the day, which John Middleton is, and he's invested a lot into this payroll, which, you know, credit to him, he cares about the team. I would be very surprised if he would feel comfortable with letting Kyle Schwarber, you know, choose somebody else and walk away from this team. So that's why my expectation is that Kyle Schwarber will be back with the Phillies this year. And it seems like a marriage that neither side, I think, wants to, you know, break apart from each other. But again, he just had one of the greatest free agent or one of the greatest entering free agent seasons that we've ever seen from a Philly or maybe even anybody in baseball for what he was able to do. So I think that ultimately it's going to be something where if it has to go to 5 or 6 years, John Middleton's going to do that. And if they're uncomfortable in the last couple of years, you know, you find ways to get off of that money. So I really think that Schwarber will be back in addition to JT. And that is where the trade market is just going to become so critical. And Ketel Marte is that guy where you could potentially save some money here. And you have a elite second baseman on a with 5 years of control left under $20 million a year. Like, that's a slam dunk if you're going to be the type of guy who is essentially, you know, not only productive, but is somebody who is cheap and, you know, can save you on payroll as well. So that's my thoughts on the Marte stuff. And that's why I think Byron Buxton would be another great option for the Phillies out there in center field. And Bader is another guy who has been, you know, a lot of talk this offseason so far about bringing him back in center field. But if you don't feel comfortable giving Bader a 3-year deal at, you know, say 15-ish million, you bring in Buxton, who is a bat that you can feel really comfortable about putting at the top of your lineup and has had a ton of productive seasons despite, you know, a lot of injury history, which would be the main concern, and which is why I think they probably won't end up doing that in the end. But you add Byron Buxton to this lineup, or you add Ketel Marte to this lineup, or maybe there's some guys out there I'm not thinking of. That is how you improve the roster, by bringing back the free agents like Schwarber, like JT, and then going out and making a trade and finding a deal where, you know, payroll isn't necessarily just absolutely through the roof and you're paying every luxury tax out there possible. So I think that's the route that they have to go down. I think that's something that Dave Dombrowski is exploring as we speak. And that is probably the one thing that will develop later on into the offseason. Like, the Schwarber thing, I'd be surprised if it didn't happen by the new year based off of everything that I've heard and what Ruben Amaro was saying. And I played that audio last week. And just what they're saying around baseball, because I think Kyle Schwarber is the type of player where he doesn't want his free agency to last into March, which it did last time, actually, when you know, the lockout was happening in baseball and a lot of free agency was delayed back in the 2021-22 offseason. So I think that Schwarber probably ends up signing by the new year. I'd be surprised if he didn't. But those winter meetings, I feel like, are going to be where those conversations really start to pick up and gain some steam here. So that is where I'm at on the Phillies this offseason with free agency, with the trade market. And speaking of the trade market, we have to get to it right now because I thought it was a really, really interesting deal that the Mets and the Texas Rangers made earlier this week, as Brandon Nimmo, longtime Met, goes to the Texas Rangers in exchange for Marcus Semien, two guys on big contracts who have, you know, had some productive offensive seasons for those clubs. And obviously Marcus Semien getting his start out with the A's and then eventually going to the Texas Rangers via trade, winning a World Series there. So Marcus Semien had some really good years out there in Texas, and Brandon Nimmo with the Mets has been a mainstay. Came up with the ball club and has been, you know, one of their top guys in the lineup ever since he came up. Played a pretty good center field when he came up, then sort of transitioned to the corners. But I have to say, it was crazy seeing Brandon Nimmo is not a Met anymore, because he was one of those Mets that you really just love to hate. And whether it's him, whether it was Alonso, whether it's Jeff McNeil, those are the guys that came up like sort of together. And just the way that some of them, I feel like they're like the nerdiest baseball players ever. The way Nimmo sprints to first base after a walk would just get you so mad for whatever reason. I almost would rather him hit a home run than watch him sprint to first base on a walk. It was just one of those annoying things that pissed me off Brandon Nimmo a lot. But we didn't necessarily escape him too fast, because the Phillies do play the Texas Rangers on opening day, which I thought was pretty funny when I looked that up after the trade. But anyway, just in terms of what it means for both teams, I thought it was really interesting, because it feels like the Mets were trying to, I guess, get a little better defensively, and the Rangers sort of did the opposite, because Brandon Nimmo is a guy where he's definitely in the latter stages of his career. Not latter stages, but definitely in the second half of his tenure in Major League Baseball. And I think that so is Marcus Semien, but at the same time, Marcus Semien still has that defensive value out there in the middle infield that the Mets could really use, because last year they struggled at second base, certainly, and then it was an outfield that, you know, can hold its own defensively. So I think that was a swap that sort of made sense for them. Of course, you have big contracts, so you're not really adding to the payroll, and it feels like the Mets are trying to prime themselves up for a big move in terms of free agency. And trying to clear, I guess, as much salary as they can. But it also does feel like you are trading for a better defensive, a defensive upgrade rather than losing sort of the offensive production that you get with Brandon Nimmo. So thought it was an interesting trade, and I think it's something that is a classic David Stearns move to where they are trying to get a big free agent this offseason, but at the same time, they want to remain flexible with the salary and be able to, I know Uncle Stevie, Steve Cohen, has a lot of money, but at the same time, you want to be smart with that money and avoid any sort of, bad contracts that you can. So I think that them doing that ultimately sets them up to potentially have a big offseason, maybe bring back Pete Alonso, potentially go out and get a Kyle Tucker or get one of these, Japanese free agents and, maybe pair the pitcher with Kodai Senga, who knows. But I think that it is a move that is one that the Phillies maybe could replicate if they wanted to shake things up. Like, almost, they're not mirroring players, but you trade a, offensive productive player for a defensive productive player. And I just thought it was interesting how that all went down. And another trade that I thought was pretty interesting was the Sonny Gray deal, where the Red Sox essentially are eating $20 million to take on Sonny Gray. And I think that if you wanted to get creative, if you're Dave Dombrowski in the front office this offseason, you can look at these type of players. And I know they have a couple to get rid of themselves in Nick Castellanos and Taijuan Walker. But those are the type of players, if you take a chance on them and you think that you can maybe tweak something with their mechanics or are able to get them into your clubhouse and ultimately improve them, I think that these are the type of trades that have happened early in the offseason that good teams make if they want to take chances. And I think that the Red Sox and the Mets, took these chances, and it's going to be interesting to see how they pay off, because I think that at least they're trying to be creative and not run back the same team the next year, like the Phillies have sort of done the last couple of seasons. So that's kind of what's going on in the baseball world right now. Definitely, is notable that some stuff is, happening before the winter meetings. And I know the GM meetings took place a couple of weeks ago, but just want to start hearing about these free agents, because obviously the Phillies have a lot of them. And once some movement starts to happen, I think this is where the Phillies are really going to start to, be sort of at the top of the news and top of the headlines because of Kyle Schwarber, because of JT, Ranger, Bader, all those guys. So I thought it was pretty interesting. Speaking of JT, wanted to bring up something before we get out of here, is that Ken Rosenthal wrote an article the other day just kind of updating on where all the current free agents were. He did say that he still thinks that Kyle Schwarber will be back with the Phillies next year, and he thinks that the organization and him have had a relationship to where they think that ultimately the two sides will find a way to get things done, Dave Dombrowski and Casey Close, Kyle Schwarber's agent there. So that is sort of not a surprise, and it's what most of the people, most of the reporters are saying right now. But Ken Rosenthal did say this on JT, similar to the Kyle Schwarber thing. The best guess with Real Muto is that he will re-sign with the Philadelphia Phillies, his team since 2019. And I just don't know if, with the JT thing, if they wanted to save money on payroll and were willing to go out there and get another free agent, and they wanted that $15 million or so, whatever it's going to be, not on the books, I think you could get creative with the catcher spot. Like, there are some names out there, like I've mentioned with the trades earlier, where you could save some money and still be able to potentially go out and sign free agents here. So I think a couple names to look out for in terms of catchers that could potentially be on the trade block. Sean Murphy from the Braves, I think that he had a down year last year, and sort of like the Sonny Gray thing that we just talked about, it's taking a chance on somebody where they've had success in the past. Sean Murphy's been a really good offensive catcher, and ultimately maybe Kevin Long finds something with him, finds something in his swing, or finds something where he can become the productive player that he once was. So Sean Murphy's a name to look out for. Adley Rutschman's obviously been a name that's been out there a bunch since the middle of last season, I would say. He's been really not the same offensive player that he once was. And that's crazy to say because he's still so young in his career, but really kind of brutal season for Adley Rutschman last year. So I don't know if the Orioles are going to sell super low on him. It seems like he's the type of guy where you hold on to him for a little bit and see if he can fix the swing. And I know they have the young kid, Bisalo, coming up too, who's one of the best catching prospects in the sport. So that could play a factor into things. But he's another name. And I think somebody else to maybe look out for, and the Minnesota Twins, who essentially sold off everybody at the trade deadline last year, is Ryan Jeffers, who's actually been a pretty solid, offensive player and not the greatest catcher. You'll certainly be downgrading in terms of what you get with a pitching staff, especially considering
what JT brings to a pitching staff here, but I think he's another name to look out for. But I've seen those three names, you know, being reported as potential trade targets for certain teams this offseason. And I think that if the Phillies were to not bring back JT, they probably go to the trade route for a catcher rather than free agency, because some of the free agent catchers out there, it just, I don't even think that any of them would be viable, you know, backups for this team, let alone to start 100-some games. So, and I just don't think Rafael Marchand is ready to do that on a night-in, night-out basis. And he is also somebody who's had some injury problems throughout his career. So I'd be pretty surprised if, you know, they let go of JT, if Rafael Marchand would become the catcher on an every game basis, because, again, I just don't think he's ready for that. And Garrett Stubbs, much as I love him, G5's officer, certainly don't want Garrett Stubbs to be catching every night for this baseball team. So we will see, and I think this trade market, just like free agency, is going to be something that we're going to have to monitor very closely, and it's going to be very interesting. So that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Again, hope everybody had a great holiday. Christmas coming up. Hopefully, Phillies can get us a little gift here coming up soon. So, for Phillies Today, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.